So here we are. Shkoyach, thank you so much to Michelle for the idea and for being the mashal and the first one to host, the first one to jump in and open up her home, that the Torah that we can share together will be a zechus. It'll be a zechus for Michelle and Eitan and their wonderful family. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll see about what the power of Torah really is tonight, one of the ideas we'll talk about. But before we come to Parshas Veschanan, Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, in his Sefer Yareach L'Mo'adim, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of BMG, of Beth Medrash Gavah, the Lakewood Yeshiva, we actually had in our shul, for those that have been here a number of years might remember, when Rabbi Yerucham came to speak in our shul one Sunday morning, he asked a very simple question. How is it that right after Tisha B'Av, right after sitting on the floor and literally crying and mourning and drudging up the worst moments in Jewish history, like we get up and we're like, okay, let's go back to life, great. And not only that, he quotes a minhag of the Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, it's not a minhag that's followed the halacha, that there are those that have a minhag after Chatzos Hayom, Davka, like they say back in the day, to like anoint themselves with some cream. We don't follow it la halacha, but you see in Rishonim this idea that just as there's a zecher to the Churban, at Chatzos Hayom, there has to be the zecher to the Nechama, to Geula. That you do something symbolizing the transition, not only getting up off the floor and sitting on a chair, sitting on a bench, although that's very comfortable. It's very helpful when you're able to get up off the floor. But he says, what's this expectation? And then we come to the Shabbos Nachamu, Rishonim already talk about the greatness of Shabbos Nachamu. The Ritva talks about Shabbos Nachamu. He interestingly says on the Gemara and Tanis that one of the two happiest days of the year is, what? This Friday, Tu B'Av. Right? One of the happiest days of the year. The other is Tisha B'Av. Excuse me, Yom Kippur. What, Tu B'Av? First of all, we've learned about it in the past, the famous teaching of the Bnei Yisachar that we'll quote again tonight. But the Ritva says that Shabbos Nachamu is, you should go all out with the Simcha on Shabbos Nachamu. It doesn't talk about the Koach of Shabbos Nachamu, as people talk about the Koach of Shabbos Chazon, or the Koach of a Shabbos Shuva, or the Koach of Shabbos HaGadol. But they say that the Simcha that's expressed on a Shabbos Nachamu is supposed to be one of the greatest Shabbosos of the year, in terms of going all out with the delicacies and the Shabbos parties and having something very, very great. Why is that? It's the Yontif meal for Tu B'Av? Really? What's the connection between the two of them? So Rabbi Yerucham says that the joy of a Shabbos Nachamu connecting to the joy of a Tu B'Av is really why at Chatzos Hayom we get up, and some Rishonim suggest that you already have to have, you know, these physical manifestations of simcha, of joy, of lessening of the avelus. And why is that? And listen to what he says. It's such a beautiful idea. That on Tisha B'Av, what do? On Tisha B'Av, we mamash sit on the floor, we cry, thinking about the most horrific tragedies in Jewish history. It's not only about Churban HaBayis. It's not only about the destruction of Beitar. It's about the Asara Haruge Malchus that we say a kinnah for. It's about the Crusades that we say a kinnah for. There's Sephardic communities that say a kinnah for the Spanish Inquisition. We say a crusade for the destruction of Sifrei Kodesh. Right? There's a Shali Srufa Be'esh is a kinnah that we say when in the 13th century, one of the French kings, influenced by one of the popes, had 24 wagonfuls of Gemaras and commentaries of Rashi and burned it all up. We have a kinnah for that. And of course, we say kinos for the Holocaust. So on that day, we really, you know, all year we've been trying to focus on Ayin Tova. We spoke about it Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, about trying to develop an Ayin Tova, a good eye, looking at things positively. Tisha B'Av is the one day a year when we don't. It's when we take that Ayin Ra and we look at the worst in everything. But your Ruchim Alshin says, but when you get up from a Tisha B'Av, you know what you have to take a step back and realize? Look what we're doing right now. We're learning Torah in Springfield, New Jersey, almost 2,000 years after Churban HaBayis. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in the introduction to his Siddur Beis Yaakov, he says, you want to know a proof for Judaism? The greatest proof for Judaism is that we're still here. And that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden writing it in the 1700s, right? Think about what we experienced since the 1700s. Think about the Cantonist decrees. Think about, obviously, the Shoah. Think about everything that the Jewish people have been subjected to. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says the greatest proof of Amitas HaTorah and Amitas Netzach Yisrael is that we're here. We are the proof for God's existence. It's really crazy when you think about it. You know, we've often said this, that because it's just so normal to us, we take it for granted. You know, the classic example of this, I use this in a drasha and shiur a number of times. If you would have told a Jew in Poland in 1918 that in 100 years from now, right, remember this one? There's going to be a Jewish president in a Jewish country in Arzeno HaGadosha, that when he dies, you're going to have 70 heads of states that are going to go to Israel for his funeral, and they're going to cut the speeches short. Why? Because it was on an Erev Shabbos, and they want to make sure all the planes can fly out before Shabbos when they close down the airport. If you told a Jew that in Poland in 1918, 100 years before it happened, you know what they would say? One of two things. Either you're a lunatic, or it's clearly Mashiach. Right? If that happens, that's Mashiach's time. Well, it happened when Shimon Peres died. And you had presidents, you had princes, you had prime ministers, you had heads of state that went to show their respects to a Jew, to a Jewish president of the Jewish state in our homeland. And mamish, they cut the Levaya short so they could close Ben Gurion Airport on Shabbos. So they wouldn't have Chil Shabbos. It's crazy. But so too, the fact that we're sitting around here learning Torah thousands of years after Churban HaBayis, after how many times has Torah, public Torah, been outlawed? Do you understand? It wasn't 40 years ago when a gathering like this halfway across the world would throw me into Siberia for 10 years of hard labor in Siberia, public teaching of Torah, and everyone around this table would get arrested. It's like crazy. So Zachter B'Yerucham Olshin says, you know why right after Tisha B'Av we have to flip the switch? Because the very fact that we have a Tisha B'Av, the very fact that we're mourning these things, and then we're able to step up and able to go back to life, that's the greatest simcha. That's the greatest joy. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. It's like the famous story we often tell on Tisha B'Av, we didn't tell this year, about the Panovitcher Rav, of Yosef Kahneman Zatzal, who lost his wife and all his younger children except for one older son in the Shoah, that when he used to go around fundraising all over the world for his yeshiva in Bnei Brak and also an old age home for survivors who didn't have anyone to take care of them, and an orphanage for survivor children that didn't have any parents to take care of them, the Panovitcher Rav would go all over the world fundraising. When there was a whole debate in the 1960s, you know, is there alien life out there? Maybe there are aliens on Mars. The Satmar Rebbe said, look, I can tell you this. There are no Jews on Mars. I don't know aliens and no Jews. Said, how do you know? He goes, because the Panovitcher Rav didn't go there to fundraise yet. He went literally all over the world, like every Jewish community. He would go and fundraise. And of course, when he went to Rome, the first time he was in Rome fundraising, he asked the person who was driving him around. His flight came in, was delayed. He got to his hotel very late at night. And he called the person who was taking and said, listen, can you do me a favor? Can you pick me up now? I have an appointment. Rav, it's almost midnight. What are you talking about? He says, no, I have somewhere to go. Please, come pick me up. So this person, Jew, lives in Rome, picked him up and says, where are we going? He said, take me where? To the Arch of Titus. And why did he, right? We've all seen the images from the Arch of Titus. That's why many people think that the menorah is in Rome, because on the Arch of Titus, it shows them carrying a menorah. It shows Titus Arasha's soldiers carrying a menorah. So, oh, the menorah must be there, right? So what does he do? He gets in the car and tells the person, take me to the Arch of Titus. And he's in his frock. He's in like his nice coat. He's in his hat. And he gets out of the Arch of Titus after midnight. And he walks up to the Arch of Titus, erect. And he starts screaming, Titus, Titus. Where are you, Titus? You're gone. You're blown away in the dustbins of history. And Titus, I'm here. Torah's alive. The Jewish people are alive. Am Yisrael Chai. Where are you, Titus? Where are you, Titus? And that's where Birucham says that yes, after the tragedies and the horrors that we relive and suffer through on a Tisha B'Av morning, we have to have the shift. And where does it come from, of course? Why is Shabbos Nachamu, the Shabbos that the Ritva says, one of the great Rishonim says, is the Yom Tov Suda for Tu B'Av? Because what's Tu B'Av all about? Like why, as he says, what, Rav Yeruchim says, why didn't he have the Suda on Tu B'Av? If Tu B'Av is such a great day, have the Suda on Tu B'Av. Why push it to Shabbos? Because what's the Chiddush of Tu B'Av? Right, so if you remember, the B'nai Yisachar says this. It's such an important teaching, one of the most important B'nai Yisachars. Hirschmeilich, coming up to the Bar Mitzvah, the B'nai Yisachar, Hirschmeilich. So the B'nai Yisachar says that you know what Tu B'Av is? It's 40 days before Chaf Hei Elul. So what? What does the Gemara say? Gemara in Sota? 40 days before Yetzirah Savlav, it calls out which two souls are going to connect. Das Ploni, Leploni, Ben Ploni, Leplonis, right? So he says, you know what? And what's Chaf Hei Elul? Chaf Hei Elul is actually the first day of creation. We make a mistake. Rosh Hashanah is not the first day of creation. What day of creation is Rosh Hashanah? The sixth day, when Adam and Chava, right? The whole purpose of creation is for Adam and Chava, for human beings, of course. So 40 days before the first day of creation, what was the Bas Kol? The Bas Kol announced that the Shidduch for the Eibishter is Klal Yisrael. And the Shidduch for Klal Yisrael is the Eibishter. And he says, that's why it's a day of Shidduchim. It's a day of bringing people together. And you look in the Gemara and Tanis, all the different reasons are all about bringing people together. When B'nai Binyamin were able to marry back in to the other Shvatim after Plagish Begiva, all these different things. When the centuries were removed from Malchus Yisrael, allowing all the Jews to go to Yerushalayim, to be Ola Regel. So what's the message of Tu B'Av? The message of Tu B'Av is that your intended, your beloved, is Hashem. What is Shabbos about? Right, people wonder why, like I shifted my L'chadodi tune to Od Yishama, to Karl Bach's, the one that Eitan Katz sings after Chuppah, Od Yishama Bia. That's what I sing for L'chadodi every week. I sing it for Kel Adon in the morning also. And someone once asked me, why every week, that's what you sing, why? I said, Shabbos is the chasana between Hashem and the Jewish people. Right? Shabbos is the chasana. If you look at all the brachos, what's the Friday night Shmon Esrei? It's interesting. All other Yom Tovim, Maariv, Shacharis, Mincha, all the Shmon Esreis are the same. Right? Think about it. All the Shmon Esreis are the same. But not Shabbos. Musaf we know is different by all of them. That's for the Karbanos. But Friday night's Ata Kiddash. So Shabbos morning is Yismach Moshe. And Mincha is what? Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. Why are they different? Because Shabbos is the chasana of Hashem and the Jewish people. What's the first stage in the chasana? Kiddushin. Hariyat Mekudeshesli. That's Ata Kiddashta. What's the next stage? That's Nisuin. What's Nisuin? Simchas Chasan V'Kala. Bringing joy to the Chasan V'Kala. That's when the big party is. Not at Kiddushin. Hariyat Mekudeshesli. The big party is Nisuin. So that's Yismach Moshe B'Ma'am Eschelkov. That is tremendous joy. And what's Mincha? The Yichudrum. When they go home together, after the big party, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad, that you are one, and the Jewish people are one, and we're all one together. So that's why the message of Tu B'Av is exactly the same message of Shabbos Kodesh. So that's why after a Tisha B'Av, Nachamu, Reb Baruch Simon brings down in his Imre Baruch, a beautiful pshat. It's a medrash, it says, Nachamu, Nachamu, not Ami, but how you should you read it? Imi. Nachamu, Nachamu, Imi. Take comfort, be comforted together with me. Meaning, the greatest comfort is knowing that we are together with Ivon Shalom. And of course, Imono Chibitzara, take comfort, Hashem says that I was suffering with you. And again, we're not going down that frame of that point of view tonight. This is all Derech Hakdama, I'm sorry. We normally don't talk this long. This is all just an introduction. We'll see, don't worry, we'll cut down on the parasha part, don't worry. But it's just so... Right, it's a new ride. So, but it's so important to recognize that, you know, like, it feels weird. Right from the Tisha B'Av, the saddest day of the year, let's go back into it. Right? The camps, all the camps last night, they're having concerts, they have the DJs. Why? Because it's a nitche, so you can have the music. It's a nitche, party. I mean, I'd vomit a lot. Like, really, seriously? No, like, not for me. Right, Rocky, not for you either. Not your thing. Definitely not for me. You know, like... But Lemaisa, right after Tisha B'Av, there has to be tremendous simcha. That's what we go to. Right? Shlomo Karlbach said, the secret of the Jewish people, that we know how to get up, we know how to cry sitting in the dirt and the dust of the floor, and we know how to get up after, right after, and start dancing. Right? We know how to get up right after and start dancing. And that's a tremendous, I think, a tremendous lesson, and that's a tremendous nechama. Rabbi Yerucham says, this is the nechama. The nechama from a Tisha B'Av is that we're here, and that Torah is alive. I mean, I remember in graduate school, in social work school, there was a class about the American Jewish community. And there I was in the summer of 1996, taking this class, and reading a study, a famous Lakeville study, that was done by the American Jewish community, in the late 50s, that predicted by the mid-1980s, the Orthodox community was going to be dead. The Orthodox community was going to be dead by the mid-80s. And there we were in 1996, reading the Lakeville study in my class taught by Dr. Norman Windsor about the American Jewish community. And I remember in 1996, fast forward 26 years, the Reform Temple across the street from us is a Korean church. I think so. I don't know what they are. The conservative, unfortunately, is looking to maybe become a Jewish community center, put in a pool. Maybe the conservative is hemorrhaging. And Baruch Hashem, we have to expand because there are too many carriages in Shul. You know what I mean? Think of 26. In the Lakeville study in the late 50s, I think it was published in the early 1960s, they were predicting by the mid-80s, Orthodox are finished. Finished. Conservative Jews, unfortunately, since 2000, has been the most rapidly shrinking religious group in the United States of America. And I say tragically, because that's not a good thing. It's not that we're all becoming Orthodox or Chabad, or that's not what's happening. They're opting out. They're saying, we're done. That's a tremendous tragedy. But the fact that Torah, think about it, the fact that we're around this table now learning Torah, the night after we broke our fast, after Tisha B'Av, this is a tremendous, it's a plea. It's a pella. It's really a wonder. And Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, that we get to live in this time, a very difficult time, not a simple time to be a Jew. Tremendous challenges, and we've spoken about that many times. But this, Rabbi Yerucham says, is the nechama. That right when you're done with the Tisha B'Av, you remember that we're here. And Torah is thriving. And Tefillah and Chesed is thriving. It's unbelievable. And of course, when we see this, what do we recognize? After maybe the greatest tragedy in all of Jewish history, less than 80 years ago, Rabbi Yerucham says, we have to recognize how close Geula is. And he's not a Hasidish Rebbe. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in a Litvish Yeshiva, right? And he said, every Jew has to see this. Every Jew has to recognize this. And that in of itself also should give us tremendous, tremendous chizuk, recognizing that Geula is coming. Again, what are you going to do with your homes? You just figure, okay, don't worry. Mashiach will work it out. Don't worry. Don't worry. It'll all be worked out. There's still... Remember, Jerusalem is going to extend until, right? What does the Medrash say? Damascus. That's how big just Yerushalayim is going to be. It's going to extend until Damascus. So it's going to be a lot of empty space for all our homes to be placed, and the Ezes Hashem, we'll all find ourselves there. So now to get to this year, okay? We're going to talk about one letter. I doubt we'll talk about after one letter, but we'll talk at least about one letter tonight. And that letter is, of course, the letter Aleph. When the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chisagin Aleinu, needed a melamed for his son, so it's reported in Hayom Yom, which is a book of Chabad teachings every day, to study another teaching that the Rebbe Riatz Friedrich, the Rebbe of Yosef Yitzchak, the sixth Rebbe, put together. So the teaching one of the day is a story that the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, said to melamed, so let's make a deal. You have to support your family, and I have to teach my son Torah. So I'll pay you, you'll support your family, and you'll teach my son Torah, so because I'll teach him when he gets older. It's a little too busy. He goes, but Rebbe, what am I teaching the Rebbe's kid? The Baal HaTanya said, what do you mean? You're teaching him Aleph Beis. And he's like, okay, how does the Rebbe want me to teach him Aleph Beis? He knew the Rebbe wouldn't just say Aleph Beis. I mean, we know from the Gemara and Shabbos Kof Daled, there's something called Osios to Rabbi Akiva that the Gemara just gives you a little hint to. There are many books just about the Aleph Beis. Many, many books just about the Aleph Beis. Rav Kook wrote a book about the Aleph Beis. Al Pi Chassidus, Al Pi Kabbalah. The Torah of Aleph Beis is tremendous. So he says, Rebbe, how do you want me to teach Aleph Beis? So he says, you teach him Aleph, and you see, what is an Aleph? An Aleph is one dot above, one dot below, and a line that connects the two dots. He's like, yeah. So the Alter Rebbe says that Kav Emtzoi is Yirah Shamayim. The dot above, he said, one pshat is the Neshama. There's a dot below, that's called the Guf. They don't see eye to eye. They have different aspirations. They have different hopes. They have different goals, the Neshama and the Guf. He says, what's the Kav Emtzoi? What's that middle line that connects the two together? He says, that's Yirah Shamayim. And as we've discussed many times, it's actually next week. Next week, we're not going to have a shir. I know, start, great, and then next week, psych, no shir. But the week after, Bez Shem, we'll have a shir, don't worry. enough time for you guys to say, I forgot, don't worry. But Lemaisa, the Baal HaTanya, told him that the Nisham and the Guf are in different places. They have totally, totally different goals. They're in fact diametrically opposed forces. But when a person has Yirah Shamayim, when a person can step outside of herself and see heaven, Re'iyas Shamayim, be aware of the awesomeness of creation and of God, as the Rambam describes, and as David HaMelech describes in Tehillim, that could bring the Neshama and the Guf closer. That's what brings the Neshama and Guf in line, that they can have the same goals together. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Chisagin Aleinu, the seventh Rebbe, says, but not only is the Aleph the Neshama and the Guf, but the top, the little dot on top, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you say Hashem is a little dot? Because we have no concept of God. God is the Ein Sof. To describe God is to limit God. We can't even describe Hashem. So the Avraham Rebbe says that the dot on top, that's Hashem. The dot below, that's a human being. How does God and a human being come together? The Avraham Rebbe says that's the Kav HaEmtzoi of Torah and Mitzvos. And that's why the Aleph is the first letter that Hashem said to the Jewish people. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It was the first letter that Hashem said to the entire world. Ironically enough, it's the first letter that's also a silent letter. The Kol Dama Madaka. It's God's presence, Eliyahu HaNavi was taught, is in the small, still, silent voice. But how did we hear it? We know at Har Sinai. What happened to the Jews? What does the Gemara tell us? They saw sounds and they heard sights. We saw the Aleph when God said the Aleph. We saw the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We were able to perceive it. And we saw that there's this incredible gap between Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ein Sof, infinity and a finite basar v'dam, how are we coming together? And that's Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that's why what does, the Gemara and Shabbos tells us, what does Anochi in fact stand for? Ana nafshi ksavis yahavis. That I, my soul, I wrote it and I gave it to you. Torah is God, kaviyachol, writing down the essence of God and giving it to us. That's why the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim V'lajner writes, when a person learns Torah, what are you doing? You're taking in pure godliness. It's why one of the Slanim Rebbe says that when a person goes to the mikveh, it's only external. What about the mikveh for your mind? What about the mikveh for your neshama? And he says that's the koach of learning Torah. That's learning Torah, and that's keeping the mitzvos. That's where a person has that mikveh for the mind, if you will. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, this very first letter Hashem was teaching us, we look at this world and we say, how am I supposed to live? Look at this very, very physical world, and I'm supposed to aspire to holiness, I'm supposed to aspire to Kedusha, but look in this world that we're placed into. And Hashem says, Aleph, there's that Kav. Try and find me. You're right, you can't hear the sound, but look for me. Look at the awesomeness of creation. Look in the awesomeness of Torah HaKadosha. And that's where we're going to be able to bring not only the neshama and the guf together, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a human being together. That's the power of Aleph. And so the Alter Rebbe, when he wanted the Malamed to teach us on Aleph, obviously it's a little bit different than the Aleph that we have. But the teaching of this Aleph is so important. Because what do we start now? What do you start right after Tisha B'Av? We start the Shiva D'Nechemta. There were three Haftorahs during Bein HaMetzarim, three Haftorahs, Gimel D'Paranusa, three Haftorahs of punishment. Shabbos Nachamu starts a series of seven Shiva D'Nechemta, seven Haftorahs of consolation. And where do they end? They end with Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Exactly. The last of the Shiva D'Nechemta is the last Shabbos of the year. So many bring down this idea. Biruchim brings it down in many, many pieces. That right now, we begin our preparations for Yom Narom in earnest. And what do we have to do to be able to do that? What is Rosh Hashanah? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Accepting Hashem as king. That's why some say, what do we have in the first parsha right after Tisha B'Av? The first week leading up to Rosh Hashanah. What's in this week's parsha? Shema. What is Shema? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Accepting Hashem upon us. Right? So this is why this teaching of the Aleph is so fundamental. It's so yesodistic. Of course, we are dialectical creatures, as Rav Soloveitchik would often speak about it. Of course we live in a paradox. You think you always want to do what's good? Of course not. We want to do what's easy. We want to do what feels good, what's comfortable. But is that what's good? And we have to look for that Kav Emtzai to connect us to God, but also to connect us to ourselves in a deeper way. And so that's one letter. We have time to go a little bit longer. A little bit longer. We're a little bit less than a half hour. So I know. In the summer months when we start so late, shir is shorter normally. As we get starting to 8 o'clock, then shir can go a little bit longer. But I want to talk about one other thing. One other thing. I have like four pshatim on it. We'll start with one, okay? We'll start with one pshat. And what is that? It's in Perek Hey, Pasuk Yutes, Chamishi. Right after the Aseres HaDibros is a very interesting phrase. Es HaDvarim Ha'ela Diber Adonai Al Kol Ka'alchem V'har Mitocha Eisha Anon V'Arafel Kol Gadol V'lo Yosof V'yichtevim Al Shnei Luchos Avonim Yitneim Eilai. Page 970. All these words Hashem spoke to the entirety of the congregation at the mountain from the midst of the fire and the smoke and the darkness. Kol gadol, a great sound, a great voice, v'lo yasaf. What does lo yasaf mean? Literally, yosaf means maybe it didn't go on, v'lo yosef, it didn't increase, right? So over here, the uncle says, v'lo psak, and Rashi quotes this, it was a great voice that didn't end. What does that mean? So there are three midrashim as to what that means. Let's go with one. The first message is, the first medrash is, that that voice of God at Har Sinai split. This is what the medrash says. It split into seven voices. And those seven voices split again until each one split 10 times till it made 70 sounds. The 70 languages of all the Umos HaOlam, all the nations of the world. What does that mean? So on one level, you talk about seven, that's the days of the week. What is the 70? The languages of all the nations of the world, this voice didn't stop. What's the Medrash telling us? So the Baba Rebbe says so beautifully, that why Dafka, the 70 languages of the Umos HaOlam? He says because what he thinks what the Medrash is teaching us is that Torah was given in the desert. And the message of Torah being given in the desert, and the Torah, God's voice, becoming the 70 languages of the nations of the world, is a very simple message. Torah is for all time, and Torah is for everywhere. Torah is applicable everywhere and all times. But not only that. Lubavitcher Rebbe says that there's another, we'll connect this to another medrash that says, you know what it means, velo yasaf? Very interesting. It means that it didn't have an echo. Velo yasaf here means like it stopped. What does that mean, it didn't have an echo? Why does something have an echo? You know why something has an echo? Lubavitcher Rebbe had a degree in engineering, right? So he knew why something had an echo, right? I'm sure many of you do here also. I read his pshat, but then I had to like Google, why do we have echoes? To make sure I knew exactly what he was saying. But he says what happens with an echo is that a sound normally reaches a smooth, hard surface, and the sound wave bounces back. If it hits a soft surface, the sound wave is absorbed. If God is speaking in a desert, when there are mountains all around, huge, huge cliffs of rock, what should have happened? There should have been an echo. So why was there no echo? What was the purpose of that miracle? So Baruch Rebbe says, no, you don't understand, right? The voice of God, Kol Gadol V'lo Yasaf, it meant, it didn't echo, it didn't reverberate. You know why? Because God's voice was absorbed in all of creation. God's voice went everywhere. It went into the mountain. It went into the people. It went into the birds. It went into the water. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, Elokus is everywhere. Godliness is in everything. And he says the pshat of the voice broke into 70 different voices, into the 70 languages. You can find holiness everywhere. And also you can find holiness in everything that you do. He says when you're going to work, whatever you're doing, you're shopping, certainly taking care of kids, right? There's holiness in everything, Lubavitcher Rebbe says. But you know what kind of holiness? The holiness of the Kol Gadol of the Ribono Shel Olam. The greatest holiness that ever was. That Kol Gadol is inside of you. And it animates everything that we do. Obviously, you have to become attuned to hear the voice. We don't always hear it. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, if we train ourselves properly, you could hear that Kol Gadol. Your soul senses that Kol Gadol. And this is why the Torah tells us, V'lo Yosef, understand God's voice is still coming into everything. And it's being absorbed in all of creation. And that's our challenge here in this world, of course. Our challenge here in this world, you know, going into Golos, it's to gather the sparks of holiness. According to Kabbalah, the sparks of holiness in everything. The sparks of holiness in those Trader Joe's gummies. You have to say a shakel and lift off the sparks of holiness in the gummies. Right? Seriously, no one's taken, come on. So, I guess we're like, okay. All right, that's sort of not taking, you know. Okay, someone else take. Right? But I think that this is, and this is really the nechama, and this is the simcha when we come after a Tisha B'Av. That God is everywhere. The voice of God, the voice of Sinai, is in everything. It's absorbed. The question is, do we realize how holy we are? Do we realize how so much of what we do is literally an expression of God's call from Sinai? It wasn't a one-time event. Mishnah says every day the Kol Gadol is still reverberating. It's still calling to each and every one of us. And what we have to try and do is to try to make ourselves spiritually sensitive enough to hear it, and to feel it. And this is what we can do. We are standing on the shoulders of one of the greatest generations of Jews ever. You know, we've talked a lot about in the past about the Bubbies. There's going to be Achnasa Sefer Torah in memory of Bubby Drang and Bubby Pirak, Michelle and Eitan's grandmothers, and Michelle and Eitan and Sharon and Eitan, Ariel's great-grandmothers who lived here in Springfield. And, you know, often when I talk to them, you're just so humbled whenever you talk to any survivor. Chose to live a life of raising their children as Jews. It's like, it's still mind-blowing to me. It's still mind-blowing to me. But do you realize the nechama that here we are having a shir in their granddaughter's house? Learning with their great-granddaughter? It's like, it's unbelievable. And realize that this is the Kalach HaTorah. This is what it means to be a part of the Jewish people. And Hashem should bless us all that we can hear the voice and we can share that voice in our lives each and every day. Shkoyach again to Michelle and Eitan. Thank you.